Welcome to the Unnoticed ADHD podcast. In today's episode, Catherine Ellison interviews Vicky Lind, a career counselor and marketing coach in Astoria, Oregon. Tune in as Vicky shares her story before and after she got diagnosed, and how she's able to help herself and her clients with ADHD. Stay tuned.
Today we're here with Vicky Lind, who is a career counselor in Astoria, Oregon. I'm Catherine Ellison. I'm a journalist and author of several books, including the family memoir, Buzz, A Year of Paying Attention. Vicky, it's great to meet you. I want to hear all about what you're doing and journey with your own ADHD, right? When were you diagnosed?
Like several people I heard about, I started reading about how the women were missed, adult women who were daydreamers were missed. And I thought that I had it. And I asked for a complete evaluation when I was about 45. And my therapist referred me to somebody who did a lot of testing. And she didn't know how to assess for ADHD. She did IQ tests. She did eye-hand coordination tests. And she came back that I needed therapy. I've already had many years of therapy. And so then a few more years went by and I became more clear about that. And then I went to somebody who was an expert when I was in my late 40s for an official diagnosis.
Oh, cool. So what made you think that was what you had?
I just want to say again, I just really adored Cynthia's with inattentive ADHD because I had all of those kinds of symptoms. When I was 16, when I drove my father's Jeep over an embankment, and he told my mother, I just knew we were going to support Vicky financially her whole life because she wasn't going to be able to hold the job because I would lose things. And in fact, later when I had a job, and he says, oh, well, I don't understand, don't you lose your pencils? And it was a good administrative job. And I said, I have three secretaries, Dad. And so they're patient with me about finding my lost pencils. Yeah. There were a lot of signs. In fact, when I was late, when I went to the lady who tested me, because I got confused, and then she wrote down in the notes that I came in, I looked disheveled, I didn't write on my check on the right line, I missed signing a certain thing. And so details were very hard for me. I'd been fired a few times for not attending to details.
Oh my gosh. When you were a student, what kind of student were you in K through 12?
I worked very hard. And I was a B student. And like when I went to college, I went to a college that was very experiential oriented, where you could choose what projects made sense for you. And then when I got my master's, it was a master's in counseling, which is very hands-on. And I would say I did have in college one case when I got a D where I kept reading, but I couldn't get myself to start writing the essay part. But mostly I chose education that was pretty compatible with me.
So you worked hard to be a B student, but were there, do you think that there were signs that your teachers could have seen?
No, I don't think so. Their job is, am I doing adequately or better than adequately, not what it took for me to do that. So I don't think they would have.
Or what you could have done, like your potential was higher than B.
Right. Yeah, that's correct. That is correct. If I didn't lose homework and get confused about assignments, et cetera.
Or get bored, maybe. Did you find that you were bored by?
Yeah, I was thinking about that right now. And when I was listening to somebody else, or actually in Cynthia's book, it's I need stimulation to be excited, but I've got too much going on, then I get overwhelmed. If I don't have enough going on, I just finished moving and doing a webinar. I also coach people with ADHD. And so now I'm in a place where it's not stimulating enough for me and I get bored. I get
totally
bored
get
easily.
That. A career counselor for how many years before you decided to focus on ADHD in your client?
Like most people, I've had three different careers. My third one was a career counselor. And then one of my specialties was ADHD because of the people who lose their job because of ADHD and have approach avoidance to doing the tasks of getting a new one. So it became a subspecialty for me. And what I do is I have a group of four people that we call the hub. And the whole thing is, what is the next most important thing to do that's not too much? And what support do you need to do that thing? And so we just keep going task by task, support by support, until people get their projects done.
How cool. So it sounds like you can bring a lot of the compassion from your own right towards that work. Huh?
And one of the things I like about that group is I reveal that I have it. And so if I make a mistake with scheduling or get off on my time estimate, I don't have to hide. I find with some of my other clients, I lie and then I feel bad about lying. So let's say I miss an appointment, although the technology helps a lot. And then I say, I'll just start to want to say a medical situation came up. I just don't want them to think, you know, that I'm flaky, and then that's not the best for my self-concept.
Yeah, it does. It is hard, like, to actually say it's my ADHD or, I find that I don't want to use that excuse, but sometimes I'll say I get distracted. I tend to get more distracted, but anyway, are you still, do you think that your long years of not being diagnosed correctly left you with some baggage emotionally?
Yes, I would say a large percentage of people have comorbidity with something else, and I have depression and I can get anxiety also. So I'm always trying to balance all of them.
Do you feel like that it was a chicken and egg thing? Do you think the ADHD came first and the depression and anxiety were caused by that? Or were they all kind of concomitant?
I would say low self-concept, which I always have to work all the time with meditations, with saying yes to how I am, to doing the best I can with what I'm working with, which now is also influenced by aging, which has some cognitive losses anyhow. So I'm a big tools person. So I'm always teaching tools, using tools to compensate it for. But I think I lost your question. What was your question?
No, I got lost in your answer. What are some of the strategies that you found most helpful with your clients with ADHD?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's just this ball of where to start. When people start to telling me their relationship's bad because they're late for work, because they might be fired. And so I tend to just do this gesture for myself and other people too. I'm saying, what's going to make the most difference if you complete this? And it's been just weighing on you. And so then once you've got what I do with myself and other people, if I've decided on a task, so I'm going to call my insurance and debug what's the matter. And I'm going to try it up to twice. And if I'm frustrated, I'm going to change the task or I'm going to change my support system. So I've gotten very good about asking for support. And I'm always surprised about, I do a lot of trades. I do trades. First, we work on your thing, then we work on my thing. And it turned out, this was very fun. I have a sister who was micromanaging her adult daughter, and her daughter went into therapy and says, "No, Mom, I take care of my stuff. You have to find a new project." So my daughter says, "Aunt Vicky can be your project." And so I work on my tasks. And then if I've gotten flummoxed by it, like applying for a medical supplement reimbursement or something like that, I put it on the list for when I have a higher level of support so I don't accumulate failure experiences. And that's what I do with my clients. If they say, we end each session with saying, what is your commitment to action? And what support do you need for that? And they either choose, and this is what I do myself, they say, if I write it on my calendar and I'm very specific, I think I can do it. Mm-hmm. If they've tried it before and they haven't, I say, you got one more shot. If they don't think they can do it, we move on to bookending. Do you know what bookending is?
No, tell me.
Yeah, I can't remember where I got that from. So Somebody says, I'm going to work on my taxes for a half an hour. And I said, you said that last week. Let's bookend it. What time are you going to start? You email me when you're going to start. and then you email me when I'm finished. Otherwise, I'll be checking in with you, because that little bit of wind at your back, accountability, let's say that doesn't work either. Then we do co-working sessions so that you see the person on the screen and in real time, you're doing the tasks that you were avoiding. And so I do that. I do that for myself too.
I could tell you a doozy of a story about me almost getting fired, but are you willing to talk about your getting fired from a job and what happened?
Yeah. Which time?
I don't know. It's a story.
Yeah, actually, I was working on a crisis line where you had to take detailed notes of when you were talking to somebody, and you couldn't get up and walk around, and you had to read the notes about the person, type what you were doing, and between calls, you couldn't walk around, and you had to clock in and out for your time. And so I would get up from my desk. I'd have trouble. I transposed some addresses that I shouldn't be doing. So the more, in the beginning, it was okay. But when it became root, I just couldn't do it.
I'm sure that there, as a career counselor, you must see jobs that you would not recommend for anybody with ADHD. And that might be one of them. Huh?
Actually, I had one job as a manager for quite a while before that one went south, but I really wasn't successful until I became self-employed. And then when I was self-employed as a career counselor, one of the reasons I'm working when I'm older now is that I've always had an assistant. So it's like when Cynthia was talking about getting one. So whereas other people would have handled their administrative detail on their own at my level, I always had somebody there as my right hand when it was more detailed or getting back to people. So that was probably my biggest strategy, is finding people who were detail oriented but not too frustrated with me and had a good sense.
Yeah, I remember I had an assistant when I was a foreign correspondent, and I would always write her notes, hurried notes on little tiny pieces of paper. And one time she just came in with all the little pieces of paper, and she said, "I can't stand the pieces of paper." So high tolerance is an important thing in an assistant. Yeah. And do you have other strategies? Because still being your own boss, that comes with a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. What's helpful to you? And
I was just laughing how Cynthia said that everybody with ADHD has a keys story. So I was thinking about my keys stories. So keys, glasses, and phones. My weakest ADHD area is my relationship to objects. It's really very iffy. So it's like an example with keys. About 10 years ago, they came out with something that if you put a device on your keys and you clap, that the keys would make a beep so that you could find them. It was a failure as a thing, because anytime somebody clapped in a movie, all these keys. But anyhow, I got 5 sets of those for that Christmas, because everybody knew. What I do is with glasses and keys, I can't do it with my phone. I keep 4 sets around. When I get down to 2, I reorder. So I always extra.
Yeah, I've got reading glasses all over the house. Also, that little gizmo, and I forget what it's called, a tile.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can only call your keys from your phone. So if you've lost your phone and your keys together.
Exactly. You have to connect it to other gizmos, like maybe your laptop, but stay in one place. You found other strategies what helps you most in managing your ADHD? Do you take medication?
No, I didn't. Sorry that we didn't experiment further with medication. There's 2 reasons that I didn't. First, I couldn't sleep when it was Ritalin initially, but I wish we'd tried more different things in different ways initially, because I think it has had somebody on one of the podcasts says they didn't qualify for a diagnosis, or a diagnosis is in 2 of the 3 areas you have had pretty negative functional consequences over time. And I'm very messy the way I do things. I clean up, but I drop things, et cetera. And it's hard for people. Like, I have a friend who won't go on vacations with me, and it might be related to me being single, because people get anxious if I feel like I'm not not in control. So finding people who just think I'm endearing the way I do things and that I'm making an effort to be sensitive to their needs makes a big difference.
And you have found those people. You've managed to find that.
Yeah, and I've had some losses that have been disappointing also.
Yeah. And so the material objects are the hardest challenge for you, but what about procrastination? It sounds like that might
help. I have made really good progress on procrastination. So I'm much better in the morning, but I have all of these backup support systems if I'm not doing it. So I know I'm a good human resource manager in the sense of I know which things my sister is good at. I know which things my best friend is good at. And I know when I still once a week, even though I'm half retired, pay somebody for when I'm stuck on something that should be a priority. And I'm definitely a recovering procrastinator. Most of the time, I have this friend she has pretty bad anxiety and she lives in New Mexico. So she writes to me all the things she's afraid of, which I'm not judgmental about. And I send her my list of top priorities and then when I've done them. So I start my morning with a list of up to six things and then I tell her when I've done them. So we have this kind of trading kind of crutches.
It's like Weight Watchers, right?
Yeah.
And you've also found that dogs are helpful. I saw something that you did about five ways dogs can help people with ADHD.
But I can imagine.
It wasn't you?
No, that wasn't.
There was a YouTube. I would get to ask you about that because I love dogs.
No. How else can I help you about my journey or how I can help other people?
When you have people in you're counseling people about careers, do you steer people with ADHD to any particular jobs?
It's like other people on careers, but more so. People with ADHD do fine if they have a respectful boss who's noticing the positives more than the negatives. And that's hard to tell when you're applying for a job, that they've got some autonomy on the this right balance of structure plus some autonomy in how they do things. And I don't think they know a lot. Some people can do surprisingly detailed kinds of things, and I don't understand it, how they can do that, because that's a no for me.
Maybe interest is the question.
Interest is much more important than it would be in other things. The interest in your boss. I once heard somebody on an ADHD podcast says, it's easy. The treatment just has two parts, the right spouse and the right job and the right boss. And you're fine because somebody who sees the positive and the creativity and lets go some of the other things.
Yeah, I think that really is important.
When you talk about tools and strategies, they're all the tools that other people use for organization. I would be, if I didn't have my Google Calendar and if I didn't look at it all throughout the day, I would no longer be working part-time. So back when there were day timers, one time I opened my office door to see who is my next client, and there were three people sitting there for the same hour. One I'd written crooked in my book that was supposed to be at 2 o'clock instead of 3 o'clock. One I'd forgotten to write down on the phone. And the other one was in the right spot. Now that I have Google Calendar and I stay really glued to Google Calendar and I set the reminder. So a lot of times they're traditional tools.
Yeah.
And it's figure out which ones you can move into habit. Like I'm working with somebody now who, he can get the list of making a list in the morning that's not too long. Just that one habit will make a difference.
For sure. Do you find with your clients with ADHD that you are both a career counselor and you act as a therapist because of all the turmoil and self-concept, as you say, that they're bringing?
I divide that. I'm not a licensed therapist. I took my degree is in that, but I haven't kept my license up. I'm a big fan of coaching for most people with ADHD being stronger than counseling because, so let's say you figure out shame came from your childhood and you learn some tools, positive self-talk. You forget them when you have ADHD when something goes bad. And so what I do is I very much more 45 minutes at the beginning of the week, and the things that are most important, I watch people put it on their calendar, and it's a date with themselves. And I do that with myself. Plan for, actually, Cynthia told me not to plan for this, but if I would have, I did because I read this book and watched a few. So I'd actually put a date with myself on the calendar. Then if you don't do it, bane of the ADHD person, oh, I never do what I say. Then the next habit is if you either you have legit excuse, the dog was really sick and it was true and I couldn't do it. Or you have, I had approach avoidance, right? I don't know why I didn't do it. I should have done it. I didn't do it. So then, like I said before, one more chance to recalendar it before you figure out that's not what's working for you. I use the term operating instructions. So I have a little book about, which I'd be glad to send to you, about what are ways that I operate that work better for me, even if they're not like other people.
Huh. So what would be some advice from that book that you could leave us with?
Number one is, when you make a mistake, what do I say to myself? And what can I say that's more useful? So that I used to say, damn it, you did it again. Then I decided no swearing was allowed. So now I just say, that self-talk was not very helpful. What can be more helpful? So it's not like it's true or not true. Oh, you did it again, or you're always doing it. I don't want to get into an argument about how often I do it and how entrenched it is. I want to say that self-talk was not helpful. So my operating instructions is, if I catch myself giving myself grief, if I make a mistake, then just notice that was not helpful self-talk.
Is there a better thing you can say to yourself, say when you make a mistake at work or something? Mm-hmm. I'll try harder.
Yeah, yeah. No, try harder doesn't
not good either.
Well.
Yeah.
This is one that my friend taught me. That would be called a mistake. That's exactly. It's not more. It's not less. It's not a character flaw.
It's almost a Buddhist kind of a thing. That is a mistake. I am noticing a mistake. Right?
That's right. That's right. Cool. Now, when people tell us, oh, I lose my keys too, or I forget appointments too, that's aggravating because I do it more. That I have a biological frontal brain executive function that does it more often. But it certainly doesn't mean a lot of other things other than that was a mistake.
Right. It's so important to have compassion for yourself, isn't it? Because when you don't, just adding problems onto problems. Vicki, as a final question, I didn't ask you this clearly enough, but how did you really had to fight for your diagnosis. How did it change your life to know that you had ADHD? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I blame myself that famous first book, Are You Stupid, Lazy, or what was the other part of it? Stupid, Lazy, or... They would know
one of those things.
Yeah, but I would say it's such a baffling disorder because it's ill. You can do things some of the time, and you can't do them other times. So then that confuses other people. Can't do things with my intelligence. I can't balance a bank book. Never have or did once, and so being around other people with it or reading Cynthia's book about how much work she has to do to offset just the way that she's wired comes back again and saying, oh, it's not aging or it's not that I'm whatever, fill in the block, that this is a common set of things that comes with it. And as well as a lot of creative problem solving, a lot of persistence, a lot of pulling in resources that can help.
Fantastic. And a lot of self-forgiveness, it sounds like.
And a lot of self-forgiveness. Yes, that's way up there.
It's just been a pleasure talking with you, and I wish you great luck with your company. Yeah.
This has been a production of Inattentive ADHD Coalition. Check us out at iadhd.org and see how you help us by donating or by spreading awareness of inattentive ADHD. Thank you.